Welcome to People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I am your host for this episode, Christine, and I am joined with Ben Ellis. What's up, Ben?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, good, good. And we also have Andrew Chamberlain. What's up, Andrew?
Hey.
And we are joined once again with Mr. Adam Fahler. Hey, Adam.
Hey, good to see you guys again.
You too, man. Appreciate you joining us. What we the one thing I wanted to mention we did a previous episode with you, and you mentioned that your favorite author was John Piper. And I believe, Ben, I believe we have a book that we want to give away to anyone who either likes, shares, or comments on the Facebook or other social media. Called The Coronavirus in Christ by John Piper. So a physical copy will get mailed out to you if you like, share, or comment.
Hey, Ben, did you write the foreword to that book?
I would have gotten paid more if I did.
Oh, goodness. So anyhow, definitely do that. And we will, we'll contact you online, get a good address to send that to you, or contact you otherwise, we'll get that mailed out to you. With that being said, Ben, I'm going to go ahead and let you take the lead here, okay?
All right, brother. All right, so Adam, thanks again for joining us. Adam, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your context? We're going to jump into a conversation about one of the biggest, really, cultural issues right now in our nation is the issue of COVID-19 and how everything is happening right here at this moment. So would you mind telling us just a little bit about what your context is, where are you pastoring, and kind of what the culture is like there, so that we kind of have a baseline to figure out, you know, how your comments are going to match up with everything else.
Yeah, sure. So as you said, our church is situated right on a strip of highway in the middle of nowhere. We're at a very small rural church in rural South Carolina, south of Florence. And inland from Myrtle Beach, about an hour. So that's where we are. Our average attendance on Sunday morning is probably between 75 and 85, something like that. So that's kind of the context. It's very predominantly a white. The churches around here are there's white churches and there's black churches. There's not much of a mix there. That's kind of the context that we're in. It's very rural. And we're probably about 35 minutes from the nearest metro area.
Now, one of the conversations about COVID-19 has been its impact on the older generations and the younger generations. What is kind of the age makeup of your church?
Yeah, it's for a rural church and rural Southern Baptist church. You would think it'd be a lot more older people, and we do have a good amount of older people in our church, but we have a good amount of younger families too. I'm 38, and I am actually not the youngest one in our church as far as like our leadership goes. I've got a deacon that's 30, and I've got another deacon that's 35, and so we have a good amount of younger families in our church. Which is great, and I'm very thankful for. I think we have a pretty good makeup, families with children, with strong children's ministry and youth ministry. But we also have a good amount of folks who are, 70 plus in our church as well. So I think it's pretty good spread.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you've got a good mix going on there. As you guys were just coming into the whole, or as the whole nation was kind of coming into this COVID-19 set of circumstances, what did you find were some of the most challenging things about leading your church through that process?
As far as leading them through the crisis, and I think one of the biggest issues is just the difference of opinions that people had. We had some people in our church that have literally, like, I've had a lady who I went to go get some groceries for. She's not leaving her home, and she's not going to be leaving her home for a while. and like took her groceries. She opened the trunk of her car with the remote and said, put the groceries in there and I'll go out and get them later. She handed me a couple little pieces of candy to give to my boys, and she handed them to me on a tray. She didn't even want my hand as close to hers as that. So we have some folks, you know, in that camp, and we also have some folks in the camp of, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe we have to do this. We need to go back to church this week as if nothing ever happened. So I think, you know, that's been one of the biggest challenges, is just the difference of what people expect, what people think, as far as that goes. So
now, do you think that those differences in your church reflect sort of the differences in your larger community as a whole?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially here in the rural area that we're in. You know, like I said, a lot of the older people, you know, there's a little bit more fear there. There's a little bit more, you know, I need to make sure that, you know, I've got these, you know, a lot of them have some underlying health issues. And so, they're just more fearful of going out, of getting it, and that kind of thing. And a lot of them stay home, and so all they do is sit home and watch the news. And so they're going to more naturally be a little bit more afraid. But then there's other people who are out and doing everything, and life hasn't changed at all for them. So, yeah, I definitely would say that that's also what the way our culture is here and the broader group.
Now, particularly in your culture, do you feel like you have begun working with other leaders in your community at a different level than you were before this issue?
I would say maybe just a little bit. Now, you know, it's in a rural area like this, you know, we have probably within a 10 mile or 15 mile radius, another five, I'd say, Southern Baptist churches. You know, so we've got plenty of churches in the area, and I tend to get together with those pastors probably at least once a month. You know, I'm friends with many of them. You know, we text each other about things, you know, on a weekly basis and things. So we are always kind of talking and, you know, hey, what's your church doing? What's your plans as far as canceling or this or that? And so we have had a lot of conversations and meeting more regularly, just trying to determine those kind of things. I haven't really had too much of conversations with anybody in like local government or other local leaders, but you know, here in the South, you know, a lot of the leadership of the community is the pastors of the churches. You know, so that's kind of where we stand. So we kind of set some of that in our community. So
one of the things, as you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier before the last recording, is that our goal in these podcasts is to have a conversation about how the church can begin to seek the good of its community. How has your church, in the midst of all this, how have you had the opportunity to sort of pursue the good of your community in your area?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have one of the things that we do pre-COVID, and you know, just on a regular basis, is something called buddy bags. Here in our community, we have a good amount of poverty, I will say, and at our schools here, they had they give out a free lunch every day to all the students, just because of you know, that algorithm that they use to determine free lunch. But then there are certain kids as well who will get these bags to take home for food for the weekend. And there's only a certain number of them, and you have to meet certain criteria to get them. And then there, but we know, because we know our community, that there are other students who may not necessarily meet those criteria, but still could really, really do struggle, and their family struggle, and they could use some food for the weekend. So we will purchase a lot of non-perishable food, and we'll keep it kind of a little pantry here at the church. And then every week we will take about 10 bags or so to one of the local elementary schools, and they will distribute it to those kids just to make sure that they're fed throughout the weekend. Well, after schools stopped meeting, obviously we didn't need to give those out or anything. And our school is giving out food, is giving out lunches to students still, as most communities are. And so there's been a school bus in our parking lot 3 days a week where people can come and they can get meals. But they're, again, giving meals just for Monday through Friday, and they don't really give out meals for the weekend. And so we decided we had this food here. We're not doing anything with it. And so for the first few weeks, we were able to take that and to make some bags and to kind of put them out beside the bus on a separate table on Friday or on the week, the last day that they distributed the meals for the week, and able to kind of say, hey, you know, if you're going to need help getting through the weekend, you know, here's some extra food. And so we were able to kind of serve our community in that way. I think that's probably been the most obvious way that we've been serving our community and trying to during this time. But I will say it's difficult because, you know, you can't get out there as much, right? And it's not the point is staying home, staying away from folks. It's been a little bit more difficult to get out there and to do things to help your community. But we thought that was at least one way that we could have an impact.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges you're facing as you're thinking about reopening the church?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is the biggest thing is what I mentioned earlier is just these difference of opinions, and not only the difference of opinion, but just the idea of when is the best time to open. I can be a people pleaser. I tend to be someone who, you know, I don't like people to be upset with me. That's just kind of my personality, and sometimes to a fault. And I've just had to realize through this that no matter what we decide to do as far as reopening or whatnot, that I'm not going to please all the people all the time. I had a phone call with one of our members the other day speaking about it. And she said, you're not going to please all the people. You've got to do what the Lord is leading you to do. And, you know, that's just what you have to do. And so the idea, the biggest challenge right now has just been, how long do we stay closed? How long do we do that? And if we come back, what kind of measures are we putting into place and trying to walk that line and, you know, do what's best for everybody? I think that's kind of been our biggest challenge right now. So
as far, you've mentioned, you know, reopening, and obviously you've been closed. So what have you all done? Have you gone to like streaming online services or what has been the strategy there?
Yeah. We've been doing online. I've been doing things a little bit differently. I've been pre-recording and then just uploading it to both Facebook and YouTube, and doing a church-wide text, you know, with the YouTube link and things like that. So it's been good. You know, we've had some, you know, for a small church, I think our Easter service had almost 1,000 views on Facebook and, you know, a couple hundred on YouTube, you know, I think that's been good. But that's, you know, that's basically, you know, I have a little bit of experience with some video editing and things. And so we had our praise band, which is very minimal, but we had one of the virtual band things, you know, I had people play in their homes, send me the videos, and then we lined them up and did like a thing. And I think that was meaningful. You know, I've had some of my deacons read some scripture or do a prayer, and I insert that into the video. So it hasn't been really, nothing's happened in the church as far as those videos go. I try to make it a little bit more interesting as far as, you know, just kind of involving people, even though we can't be together, but still having, you know, to be as much of a service as we can that they're used to with those folks doing those things. So I've kept my messages shorter purposefully because, you know, where I'll typically preach 25 minutes, I will go more like 10 to 15 minutes, because I think somebody see a video that's 15 minutes long, they're more likely to watch than a video that's 35 or 40 minutes. So those are some of the ways that we've been doing it. But yeah, to answer your question, yes, video has been what we've been doing.
So back to the part where you're just dealing with opinions, one of the things we talked about this year was unity. And when we set out that idea, we were thinking more than political. We were not anticipating a global pandemic and dealing with it. I'm hearing various opinions, and I have my own strong opinions as well. Some of the guidance you think that you could give, not, you don't have to give your own local church, but just the church at large, like for those who are like, hey, we should meet tomorrow versus those who are like, hey, we shouldn't meet till July or something. I don't know. Just dealing with those, what do you think are some good general, hey, let's be unified kind of guidance that you can give us?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of being a rebel, so to speak, much at all. And so my biggest advice is going to be, what is your local government saying, right? And let's do what we can to be as obedient as possible. I think Romans 13 is pretty clear that that's what we're supposed to be doing. So if there is guidance from your local government as far as amount of people or certain social distancing rules, you know, I think you know, we, it's important for us to get together, you know, whenever it's safe to do so. But I think, you know, I think the more that we look like we're going to rebel against, you know, the establishment or rebel against the government, you know, that doesn't fare well for our public image. So I think, you know, whatever we do, we need to do it as much as being, you know, civilly obedient, as much as we can be, you know, but there comes a point in time too, you know, when we've got to, we just got to come back together. So
I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but has your congregation decided when you were going to be opening?
Yeah, we actually decided just last night. And so I had mentioned to them, and like I said, because of the differing opinions, even just on our deacon board, I told them, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and make this simple for us. I think we have two options. One is we can come back soon. You know, it's probably the week after this. So as of this recording, this Sunday is Mother's Day. And so that would be the 17th. And we can come back the 17th and we can have some restrictions in place, right? We can say we're not going to pass the offering plate. You know, we're going to prop some doors open. You know, we're going to encourage families to sit together, but to six feet apart from other folks. We're not going to do hugs. You know, we're not going to do handshakes. And we can have a lot more of these restrictions in place, or we can wait until like June 7th, and maybe we can come back with less of these restrictions in place. So the question is, what's more important to us? Is it more important for us to come back sooner with these restrictions, or is it more important for us to come back when it's going to be a little bit more like normal? And there just wasn't, there, like I said, even in that, there was differing opinions, and it was hard to come to a conclusion. So the conclusion we came to is a bit of a compromise. We decided to come back on the 24th. So we're going to start meeting again on the 24th with, for 2 weeks, having a good amount of those social distancing and some restrictions in place. And then hopefully June 7th coming back with a little bit less, just mainly depending on when some of those social distancing and from the governor and different things are lifted. So
one of the things, the work that I do, I really haven't, I've worked more now than I do when we're not social distancing. And so I'm out. And one of the things, I just brought the remainder of my staff back last week. And I told them, I said, look, because a lot of them kind of came in a little fearful and so forth. And I said, what you're going to find is this, is that you're going to see real quick that you're going to gravitate back to what you're used to. And you're gonna, that wall that you felt is going to go really quick. And you're going to give yourself either a false sense of security, like there's nothing here, or B, you're going to just become unwise to some of the things that you're doing. So it's interesting, like that there is a dynamic to this that I did not anticipate with it. Once you get back to whatever that normal is, how quickly people are like, you know, people that were coming in with masks wouldn't get, before the end of the day, they're wanting to hug and everything else. So it's just a really interesting dynamic. We're going to set all these things for our church. My anticipation is this, is that maybe 1 week we'll fall, but probably by second week, we're going to be like, oh crap, everybody's doing the thing we told them not to do. So as a heads up, I think it's a very interesting thing.
Right.
All right. So
yeah. And I'll say that's one of the biggest reasons. Some of the churches, I think I lost some internet there. I was just going to say, that's one of the reasons we decided not to do drive-in services at our church. And I was pretty adamant about that. And that's because I think people can come, they can drive in, and I'm not going to keep them from getting out of their car and hugging each other and being, you know, socially undistant. Not that I wouldn't try, but I just know our church well enough to know that they wouldn't do it. You know, that that's going to be almost too difficult for them to do. I think it'd be more difficult for them to be able to see each other and not hug each other and not have that interaction than it would be to be able to, you know, to actually go and just not have service at all. So, because we revert back to the old ways, I think more than we would hope to.
Okay. So here's recently, the co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation released a statement in which they basically indicate that if the churches didn't reopen, it would have a negligible impact on society. How would you respond to that kind of a statement? And more importantly, how would you lead your people to respond to that kind of a statement?
Yeah, my gut reaction to that is to be incredibly offended, right? You know, as a pastor, as a leader in the church, you know, why I would sit here and think, of course, like, look at the missionaries. Look at the great things our Christian missionaries are doing. Look at all the good that our churches do in our community, right? But then as I step back and I maybe look at that from their perspective and maybe even look at that statement from the world's perspective, I hate to say this, but I wonder if they're more correct than I want to admit. I don't think it's completely correct, and I do think that they're off base for a good bit, but I do think that that statement should cause us to really kind of rise up, that statement should call us to action of some sort to make sure that we're making an impact. Of course, we want to make an impact spiritually, right? That's why we exist, but to make sure that we're making an impact on our local communities as well. I mean, for us here at our church, I mentioned we do the buddy bags. I've also mentioned to my deacons, since the mission trip, we were going to be going on a mission trip to West Virginia. I was very excited about it. Had, you know, in our small church, I had about 25 people, and it got canceled. And so I've been talking with my deacons about doing a local summer missions project or maybe a couple around here since that trip was canceled. But I mean, there's always more that we can do. There's always ways that we can innovate and reach our communities in a broader sense and in a deeper sense. But, you know, as far as that statement goes, like, I don't like that, but I hate to admit that they might be more correct than I'd like to admit. So
in thinking through that, because you mentioned mission trips and you mentioned doing a local mission emphasis and some of those kind of things, how does the coronavirus, how does that pandemic begin to change how we, or does it even change how we as the church ought to be impacting our community?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if coronavirus itself will really affect how we interact with our community. I think coronavirus is probably going to affect how we do church. Maybe the things that we are, you know, things that we're more vigilant about. Chuck Lawless had a great article called something like 12 things that it'll be different about church when we all come back again. And it was a good little couple minute read. But I don't know if it'll really affect too much how we deal with our community. I think, you know, if anything, we're looking forward to being able to get out and to serve our community a little bit more again. So that would be, I think that's kind of my thing.
It does change, to be honest. I mean, we made a decision during this to, like, continue serving food and with the organization I lead. And I'm telling you, it was very fascinating to see the response in the community. I had like one phone conversation where I was like, well, I kind of expect things to step up right now. And so I'm not trying to, like, you know, push down what you're saying. I just hope it does change. You know, I hope we become a little bit more emphatic with our faith and you know, like, look, you know, this is who we are and take that position. So I don't know, you know, throwing that back out there, what do you think of that? Do you hope to see those same type of things? You think that will happen? Are you going to encourage that with your church? What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely encourage. I would definitely encourage that in our church, for sure. I would encourage our people to be more open about their faith. And I even mentioned in our message this past week that, you know, I think there are going to be people who are more open to the gospel that maybe would not have been previous to this time, that are going to be more open to it now. And so I said, like, are you ready? Like, are you ready? And I think another thing I've said about this is that this may have been a God-ordained Sabbath for Christians in a way, because we were less busy. We had more time to kind of sit and maybe spend more time in Bible study, maybe spend more time in prayer. And I hope that our people have taken advantage of that. And that's what I've kind of been preaching that a little bit. But I think, you know, now we come to the time where it's time to get back out there. You know, it's time for us to be open again. And so are you ready? Are you ready to jump out there? Are you ready to scatter seed, right? Are you ready to put the word out there? Are you ready to live your faith so people can see it? So absolutely. I think in that way, in a very broad sense, absolutely. I think I think you're right. I think it might change. It might change those in that thing. Specifically, the way that our church reaches our community and like the specific things we do. I don't know that COVID-19 and the fact that we were away and now we're back. I don't know if those are going to change anything specifically as far as the way.
For example, you're saying you had like 1,000 views for your one of your services here recently. Are you going to continue like using it specifically? Like, I hope churches continue with these digital platforms. I think, you know, if somebody would have said me 6 months ago, I'd have been like, I don't know how I feel about that, blah, 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 all that. But now I'm saying, like, man, maybe I should change my on that. Like, should we keep those platforms going, speaking specifics?
Yeah. And I guess, and I see what you're saying. And that is something that our deacons have said. They definitely want to continue that. And so I told them, well, if we're going to do it, I want to do it well. So we're going to have to purchase a camera and do that well and, you know, be able to continue to upload those things. I guess it is, in a way, that is reaching our community and that is reaching out, right? Because, you know, you're getting the word out there to anybody and everybody who wants to listen to it, as far as specifically in our community, little missions projects and things like that, that's kind of what I was getting at, is things that might not change. But absolutely, I mean, we're going to continue that digital platform, and I'm excited about that, and that'll be something I think that'll be good for our whole church as well.
I think the crucial thing is that we don't separate those anymore. We don't separate like the digital from the non-digital, because I think what we're seeing is that those are having such an impact that those are, you know, I guess prior I would have separated those. Like, you guys are doing projects, you're missional. Oh, you're doing digital, missional. Now I'm saying maybe we rephrase that. Now that we're doing digital, that is missional. Not that it should replace any of the physical, but maybe we to elevate it to that category so that you realize this is a missional project that we're doing with our community. Just a thought.
I think it's a good thought. And I just think as we think about that too, is that it's going to have to change how we do digital. It can't just be the same old, same old. We have to be, I think, more targeted targeted might be the wrong word. We have to be more intentional about how we're using digital if it is going to be missional over the long term. All right, man. Adam, thank you so much again for your time, brother, and walking through some of this with us. This has been a challenge for, I think, everybody who is leading a church, leading an organization, leading a business. It's something we've all had to kind of think through and walk through in terms of having employees and church members and how we're ministering to the local community. So thank you for your time. Thank you for walking through your process with us. And we were just going to ask you again, if you don't mind, Adam, if you just pray us out again, and we'll again appreciate your time. Appreciate you spending it with us, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Happy to. Father, again, we just, Lord, we come to you, and Lord, we just thank you for these men. Lord, we thank you that you have called us, Lord, into the ministries, Lord, and into our places. Lord, we know that, Lord, for every single Christian, Lord, you have called us into a place where we are to be fruit bearers, Lord, and to be people who share your word in every opportunity that we have. And so, Father, we just ask that you would bless these men. Lord, I pray that you would give them opportunities, Lord, to share their faith. Lord, I pray that as we continue to think through the things that we have talked about today, Lord, would you guide our steps? Lord, we pray that everything we do would be, Lord, with the gospel at the front of our minds. Lord, and in a way that we can get the gospel out there as much as we can. Lord, we know that that is your will. Lord, we know that you have called us to be your hands and feet in this place for that. Lord, so help us to seek you. Help us to seek the welfare of the places in which you have called us. And Lord, help us to always, Lord, be looking out and seeing your people through your eyes to the best of our ability. Lord, we pray for your blessings on the churches that are represented here, Lord, and for the churches of all those who are listening. Lord, we pray that we would be an impact, Lord, that we would make an impact on our communities and on your church. Lord, would you draw us into a deeper relationship with you? Lord, we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Adam.
Absolutely. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city. Thank you.